You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, America. That can mean only one thing, that music, and it's time for the Dan and Dave Show. Except today I'm stuttering. We got the Dan and the Dave Show, because we've got a very special guest on, Mr. Daniel O'Kelly. He is a former ATF, and if you don't know what those initials are, it's that banging on the door right now that you're hearing. They're at your front door, going to be asking you about your alcohol, tobacco, and your firearms. And we're going to be asking Daniel O'Kelly about that. Good morning, Dan and Dan.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We'll have to... We're going to play this by Daniel and Dan, I guess, or Dan in Oregon. You've been on for so long, we'll call you Dan, too, and we'll call, since it's our guest, we'll call him Dan 1 or something, but we're going to get it out. Dan 1, or Daniel O'Kelly, has a very interesting business. After retiring from the ATF, he lives in Texas, which that makes him a good guy to begin with. But he started a business after retiring, and it's called the International Firearm and Specialist Academy. And we're going to go into detail about that in our second segment. But Daniel O'Kelly, I want to welcome you to the Dan and Dave Show and to America's Web Radio. And want to get started just by, who the hell are you? No, how did you get into the ATF, and give us a little bit of your bio and how you decided to go into law enforcement, and then I want to dig a little bit into the ATF, because I don't think a lot of people, except the moonshiners over here in Georgia, they know the ATF, but other than that, people don't really know that much about what you guys do or what you did, and we'd like to learn a little bit about that, and then we'll start talking about your business in the second segment. So I guess at this point, just take off.
Okay. Well, I started out as a police officer in the late 70s in the Northwest Indiana area near Chicago. And after having been a cop for going on 11 years, ATF opened a new office in that area that they didn't previously have, and I was a detective on the police department. My boss at the police department encouraged me to apply to become a Fed. He was getting ready to retire, and he said, hey, you need to move up and beyond this place, and I was sort of resistant to it, actually, but, I wasn't so sure I was interested in that, but I did apply because, having been a lifelong gun nut, student of, firearm history and design and love firearms, I applied, and I ended up, after a year's process, got hired by ATF and became an agent in the Chicago division. ATF back in 1988, when I came on, was a lot different animal than it is today, and I could go into a lot of different reasons why, but I'm probably the most pro-gun guy that ever worked for ATF. I've been a lifelong NRA member, and, I've been a reloader, a collector of firearms, a collector of ammunition. I've been a range instructor since the early 80s, and just always been really into firearms. And most of what I did with ATF is undercover stuff, undercover cases, self-started proactive investigations against armed drug dealers, and I did a case against the Russian Mafia at one point. I did a 7-week case against one of the street gangs in that area, and I don't know. I don't want to just drag on, but that's basically how I got started, Dave.
What all does the ATF do? We all know the initials, and I think there's been one, at some point, a television show about ATF, but I don't think the average guy walking down the street, Dan, do you concur with me that the average guy walking down the street doesn't know that much about the ATF, And how are you? How is it split up? And how do the one goes after alcohol, one goes after tobacco, and one goes after firearms? Or do you all do the same thing?
No, they all do the same thing, and it's really the agency started as part of the IRS back. It didn't become its own agency until 1972. It was part of the Internal Revenue Service, and it was a catch-all group that was in charge of collecting taxes on those three items. You know, there's a lot of taxation on tobacco and alcohol, and then the taxation on firearms when it comes to National Firearms Act firearms, such as machine guns and silencers and whatnot. And so it became its own agency in 1972. You know, those are the guys that used to be the revenuers back in the days when stills were pretty commonplace, I guess. The funny thing is that by the time I came on, ATF was 95 or better percent firearm enforcement. I never did a case on alcohol. The only tobacco case I was ever part of was to be an assisting capacity on a guy that was buying truckloads of cigarettes and not paying federal excise tax on them because he bought them on a federal reservation and then took them, you know, off base and sold them at retail and pocketed the taxes, and the government didn't like that. But there's really no alcohol or tobacco enforcement done. What ATF does is they enforce the federal gun laws, they enforce the federal explosives laws. They're the primary agency that investigates bombings. In short, they do all the federal violent crimes that, except for the three or four that the FBI does. The FBI does interstate auto theft, kidnapping, domestic terrorism, and bank robbery. And all other violent crimes are under ATF jurisdiction. So it's really strange that they're even using alcohol and tobacco in their name anymore. As a matter of fact, explosives was actually officially added to their name a few years ago.
Basically
the federal gun police.
How does it intermingle then with the FBI? Because what you said, I would have thought the FBI would be involved with the investigation on some of the same areas that you were talking about.
There is overlap. I mean, if the FBI starts out investigating a bank robbery and they find out that their bank robber is a convicted felon, and of course he's in possession of a gun, then when they also charge him with felon in possession of a firearm, they're in effect enforcing one of ATF's laws. And by the same token, if ATF goes after an armed drug dealer, which is actually a gun violation, and they find out during the investigation this is the guy who robbed a bank also recently, then they go ahead and prosecute that because they've stumbled over the evidence it takes to prosecute that person. And you'll get some rivalry. You know, let's say a bombing occurs at a post office. The FBI shows up because it's a federal building, and ATF shows up because it was a bombing, and then there's a little bit of chest thumping on both sides to see who's going to take the case, and it's always been like that. There's a big rivalry between the two.
How do you decide who has the upper hand or who will take the case?
That gets hashed out between the two bosses, you know, the senior FBI guy and the senior ATF guy at the scene. They take that to some level that was always way above my pay grade, guys. It was a case-by-case basis.
I would think that adds...
just like TV.
Yeah, you know, there's always been after having been a cop for 11 years, getting into the federal system, I thought, really, you know, there's enough crime to go around. It's not like, you know, if this agency takes a certain investigation that the other one's going to be left with nothing to do. So I never got quite the reason for dividing it all up, but I guess that keeps everybody from at some point or in some place going after the same thing and leaving everything else unattended.
Is the agency needed, really?
Is it needed? Yeah, I mean, the federal gun laws, I mean, you know, as pro-gun as I am, which is extremely pro-gun rights, you know, there are nutcases out there, and there are some things that need to be regulated by somebody, whether it's ATF or another agency. I always had to chuckle because every roughly 5 years there's talk that ATF's going to be absorbed by the FBI or ATF's going to be abolished or something like that. And I say, well, here's what's going to happen. The day after, the gun laws are still going to be on the books, and the government is still going to want them to be enforced. So who's going to do it? Are you going to fire all the guys who work for ATF? Because then you're going to have those laws being enforced by people with no training and experience to do so. And if the ATF people still work for the government, but they're carrying a different badge, they're going to be the likely guys who are enforcing it. So what's the difference? You're going to have the same guys doing the same thing, or worse. You know, I don't know what would be served by that.
Are there also female agents in ATF?
Oh, sure. Yeah, when I started as a cop in the late 70s, it was unusual to see many female cops. But as I came, you know, on with ATF 11 years later in the late 80s, it was not uncommon to have female agents. It wasn't as common as it is today. As a matter of fact, my rookie class with ATF was all men. There were no females in the class. And, you know, then later in my career, being assigned to the ATF Academy in Georgia, running some of these classes, you know, we had classes where there were 8 women in one class out of 24 people. It was 1/3 women, you know, at some point trying to even up the score.
So, being in the ATF, and then we're going to transition into what you're doing today, had you, from your experience in the ATF, seen a need for what you're doing today?
Oh, definitely. You know, during my career, I saw many bad guys get arrested who really were bad guys and who really needed to get arrested. But there were times when I saw people, you know, being arrested, having their lives ruined because they did something that they didn't even realize was illegal and that they wouldn't have done if anyone had ever told them, hey, you know, that's a violation. That's actually a felony. You shouldn't be doing that because of what happens. You know, what's the ripple effect after you do something like that? We're talking about things like, you know, somebody sold too many guns without getting licensed as a dealer, or somebody modified their gun and put the wrong accessory on it, which makes it something that has to be registered with ATF as an NFA firearm.
Right. I tell you,
I just got tired of the fact that ATF only teaches its own people, and they don't even teach their own people all of what they need to know to be completely competent in any kind of firearm that they encounter on the street.
Daniel, I need to stop you there. We're up against a hard break. We'll come back with Daniel O'Kelly right after these messages.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating, to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We appreciate you listening in, and we certainly appreciate our very special guest today, Daniel O'Kelly. He is a former ATF agent and has a business now called International Firearms Specialist Academy. And Daniel was just going into, I don't know, is somebody coming in and out on that? Did I hear that in the background every now and then?
But I think that might be Mike. That's a computer tone. I'll turn that volume down. I didn't know that you could hear that.
Yeah, sorry.
My bad, guys.
I know. Well, you can't get good help these days, Daniel. But anyway.
Ain't it true.
So anyway, Daniel O'Kelly was telling us about his business and the need that he saw while he was in the ATF. So, Daniel, we'll turn it back over to you. And then Dan, I think, wanted to get one quick question in before we continue talking about your business. But go ahead and tell us about your business right now.
Okay. Well, when I retired from ATF, having spent 5.5 years of my time on staff at the ATF Academy, and I co-wrote the lesson plans that ATF uses to teach their people firearm technology, ID, and so forth, everything they know about firearms. And I found when we wrote that ATF headquarters didn't want the whole program. They said, you know, we're not going to leave these people going through X number of days of schooling just for firearms. We need to get them through and get them in the field. And I said, well, you know, what 40% of what we've written do you want thrown in the trash? And they basically told us. So for the last 18 years, ATF folks have not been taught all that, in my humble opinion, they need in order to fully understand everything they run into in the field of firearms. And when I retired, I said, you know what, why don't I make that available to all of law enforcement nationwide and to the gun industry? And we did. So our website now has the entire program of everything ATF teaches its own people and everything that they choose not to teach their own people, which you can go online and learn and become fully competent and stay out of trouble in the way of being a collector, a manufacturer, a dealer, anybody who works in the field of firearms, in law enforcement, and so forth.
You know, it's
And a minute ago, you were talking about going undercover, and that kind of caught my ear, and it probably caught the ear of a lot of our listeners. Can you tell me what it's like to be undercover? Is it kind of like Serpico, or is it over-dramatized on TV?
Oh, TV definitely is all about the, making it look as good as possible to get listeners and watchers and what have you. But number one, undercover work is voluntary. Nobody is ever assigned to work undercover because if your heart's not in it, you're not going to be effective or it's going to be dangerous for you. And having been 2 years a full-time drug narc in the police department, I had learned the ropes at the small scale, and then in ATF I had an opportunity to do a lot more of that, which I really liked. So it's exciting. It can be frightening, but it's also rewarding. It's not something more than about 10% of the agents ever do, and whether you want to do it in a deep cover capacity or a short-term type capacity, you know, I never went deep cover like some of our agents did. We had some fantastic agents get into 1% biker gangs and things like that, working deep cover and being away from home, and what they did far eclipsed what I ever did. But I had some interesting cases, like with the Russian mafia and some street gangs, which were interesting.
Wow. Well, my hat's off to you for doing that kind of work. I don't think I could. I don't think I would have that dedication within myself, but maybe you never know.
I think it's called guts, Dan.
Anyway,
I'm not
Dave,
sure.
Go ahead.
Anyhow, let's get back to your business, Daniel. And like I said, it's International Firearms Specialist Academy. And you have a website with a different name, though. So let's talk about your website. I've got it up on our website right now. People that are listening, they can go to our streaming, and they'll see that it is under the name of, and I'll let you fill in the blank.
Okay. Well, the website is gunlearn.com, G-U-N-L-E-A-R-N.com. And, you know, International Firearms Specialist Academy is the name of the company. But that's a mouthful, so we decided to use something a little more easy to remember for a website. What the company is, well, what it offers first, is everything you need to know to be fully competent in firearms and ammunition, if that is part of your job or your avocation, if it's part of your hobby. It's divided into 14 separate modules or topics, and you can take any one of them or any all of them or any several of them. You can take them at your leisure, obviously, since it's online training. And basically each one has a video narrated by yours truly. And at the end of it, there's a multiple choice test. Some of them are a lot longer than others. For instance, the topic of silencers is rather short. There's not much to silencers. But then, on the other hand, the one covering firearm markings is probably our most lengthy one. There's another one on machine guns and clandestine conversions, which is rather lengthy, and there's one on ammunition that's sort of long. So you can go on there, take these modules, take the test. Once you pass all 14 tests, proving that you've actually learned the material, you become certified as a firearm specialist. And then, you know, you get the goodies and the certificates and the accolades that go with that, which can be very helpful in building a resume and showing your competence in testifying in court or teaching, things like that. So, again, there was a big void out there. You know, even ATF people were not getting all that I think they need, because many times they would have to run to other people and ask questions, you know, what's this, what's that? You know, there are a lot of good people in ATF, but we all know the joke. You know, how many answers do you get if you go ask the same question of 10 different ATF people? It seems like sometimes you get 10 different answers, and that's due to a gap in their training, unfortunately.
You know, you pointed that out before, and I, my experience, if you know, weapons are deadly, and can be deadly, and I think the first thing, and I'm sure your dad was the same way, Dan, but the first thing my dad taught me about a weapon was you respect it, whether it's a BB gun or a pellet gun or a shotgun or a rifle or a pistol. You have ultimate respect for it, and you can't learn too much about that particular weapon. And for the ATF to shut it down and say, well, we only want you to give us a portion of it, and you saw the need for the rest of the instruction, I think that's a vital message, and a message that we should all listen to and acknowledge the importance of knowing. You can't learn too much about what you're dealing with, in my opinion.
I agree,
Dan. I'm on your website here, gunlearn.com, and I'm looking at the machine guns clandestine conversion module. And you obviously have a membership site. How do I get the rest of that video? It's very interesting. I'd like to learn more.
All you do is go to the upper right corner where it says log in. Click there. You're going to enter your first name, last name, a username, and your email address. It will then email you a password, a temporary password. Once you get that temporary password, use it and your username to log in. You can change your password, of course, just like any other site. We have no way of knowing what your password is that's even hidden from us. And then just click online training. It will give you the drop-down list of our 14 modules, and they're priced individually, or you can buy the entire package and begin at your leisure. They're listed in the order that we recommend you take them because it makes learning a lot easier to start at the beginning of the list, but it's open to the individual learner. It's pretty easy.
It sounds very user-friendly. Yeah, user-friendly.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that we also offer expert witness services. We get a lot of attorneys reaching out to us for clients who have found themselves in legal jeopardy. You know, they've done one of those wrong things that nobody ever told them. Simply, hey, this is not something you probably should do. We're not talking about drug dealers. We're not talking about murderers. You know, we're talking about somebody who just didn't know the regulations and things like that. And their attorneys reach out to us, and they need an expert to testify in court and explain, you know, and so we make that available, too.
Well, besides online, you also do seminars in different areas of the country, and people can go on your website and look at your schedule of events. The prerequisite for going to one of your seminars is just breathing, or do you have to be in law enforcement, or what?
It depends on the host. We have done seminars for the last couple of years from the city of Seattle, Washington, to Maine, the state of Maine, way up northeast, and we've done them down to Miami and everything in between. We do approximately one or two a month. And if you go to click Live Seminars at the top of our screen, you'll see our schedule, what we have coming up. And each agency or company that hosts one of our live seminars, they get to decide who they want to allow in. For instance, we did one at Wyndham Weaponry, one of the makers of really great AR-15 rifles up in Maine. We've done a couple of them there already. And, you know, they allow anyone to attend, civilians, police, military, security, whoever, as long as you're not someone prohibited from possessing a firearm under federal law. You know, as long as you can fill out that 4473 form that a dealer has and pass a background check to possess a firearm, you can attend our seminar because you handle firearms in the seminar. You're going to examine them and look at what it is we're teaching. Other agencies, some law enforcement agencies, restrict attendance to law enforcement people, active military and licensed private investigators and security, and then there are some that, you know, allow in dealers, people who work in gun stores. It depends on the location, guys.
Daniel, I'm going to have to stop you there. We've got to take another break. You're listening to America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave Show, and our special guest today, Daniel O'Kelly. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Nunes. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like. You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show, and we've got two Dans on today. One is in Portland, one's in Dallas, one knows what they're talking about, and one is asking the question.
Wait a minute. Whoa there.
So anyway, Daniel O'Kelly, we're very glad to have you on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show and talking about your experience in the ATF, and then also now your business, which Dan and I both I find fascinating, and I appreciate the time that you spent with me yesterday talking about what you all do. I'm going to get on my soapbox for 2 seconds and just say that anyone that's listening, and we know for a fact there are many, many, many more carry license being issued and people getting weapons, buying weapons, both men and women. And, there's the undercurrent of need. But with that need comes the need to know what the hell you're doing. And that's not just going to a range one time and seeing if you can hit the silhouette. It's learning about your weapon, going through your weapon, and learning the laws about your weapon, what's good, what's bad, what's legal and what's illegal. And Dan, like the other Dan and I, both agree that what you're doing is incredible. So we'll let you continue with telling us, where the laws fit in and anything else. It's sort of an open mic for you.
Hey Dan, let me ask one quick question here. You've got a great website, very informational. Have you published a book? If so, where can we get one?
Actually, we're working on that right now. The book is actually written, but we're doing final proofreading. It's going to be more of a textbook format, but it should be out before summer hits, and I'll be glad to announce it here on the Dan and Dave Show once we get it out there and available, folks.
Be sure and keep us in that loop. We'd love to promote that book for you.
Definitely. Thank you. As far as the laws, guys, when it comes to concealed carry, I agree fully with what Dave said, that if you're going to carry, there's nothing that stops a bad guy with a gun except a good guy with a gun. However, if you're going to carry a gun, if you don't learn when you can and can't shoot, because it's certainly not just when you feel like it, it's certainly not because someone's stealing the wheels off your car. That's not a justified deadly force situation. You have to know the rules or you're going to end up in more trouble than the bad guy in some situations. So if you go out there and you get trained, then you're a real asset to yourself, your family, and to society. But if you don't get trained on the proper and safe use of a firearm that you carry, you can end up being part of the problem. So I urge people to please go out there and get training. Range training is not even something we offer. There are lots and lots of qualified self-defense instructors out there, concealed carry instructors, and the rules are different depending on which state you're in. So I'm not even going to comment further on that, but as far as the gun laws go, there's just so much that's not covered by anybody else, and that's what we do here at IFSA. We cover safety and clearing is the first module, but then we cover firearm classification, something that almost no one is familiar with. You know, and to give you an example, everybody thinks that every firearm is a pistol, revolver, rifle, or a shotgun. There's a category out there called other, and it's just under the Gun Control Act. Guns that, shootable guns, and they're not a pistol, they're not a revolver, they're not a rifle, and they're not a shotgun. Well, you know, what are you talking about? Well, it would take longer than we have here, and that's on our classification module. And people get in trouble with those, too, because they don't know what they can and can't do with them. So there's that kind of regulatory laws. As far as other gun laws, you know, there are things that ATF is getting away with out there, in, again, in my humble opinion, that doesn't make sense, because they're a regulatory agency, and because of that, they have administrative authority to make rulings when it comes to firearms and ammunition, and no one really checks them. There's no one over them that says, wait a minute, this, we disagree with this one, or you're outside the lines. For instance, probably very few of your listeners know that with any given firearm, if you take a gun apart, any gun, take every pin, screw, and spring apart and lay all those parts on a table, only one part of that firearm is still a firearm, and that's the frame, also known as the receiver. Well, ATF has a definition of what is a firearm frame or receiver. Of course they have to. And you can find that in the Code of Federal Regulations. And the funny thing is, if you look at that definition, it has three definite prongs. It says that that frame has to be the housing for the hammer of the gun. It has to be the housing for either the bolt or breech block, whichever one that type the gun employs. And it has to be the housing for the firing mechanism. And we've had to point out to ATF a couple of times that, hey, the lower receiver on an AR-15, the part which you call a firearm frame, it doesn't house the bolt or breech block. It's missing one of those prongs. So how does it qualify? It's missing one out of the three. And then if you take the receiver of a Glock, a very common pistol that probably everybody who's listening owns one, it only qualifies for one of those three prongs. It houses the firing mechanism, but it does not house the hammer or the bolt or breech block. So you're batting, you know, one out of three. How does that qualify? So because of things like that, I, you know, it's my opinion that ATF needs to straighten up a few things, because they're outside the lines in some places, and we call it like it is.
Do you see any of these regulations that the ATF has imposed as impinging upon the Second Amendment? Do you get a little bit nervous that maybe the ATF is trying to regulate gun control too much?
In some ways, yes. For instance, they come up with, you know, the sporting requirement. Things can't be imported if they don't meet certain sporting criteria. That's why you can't import a lot of the military-type firearms anymore. And there's nothing in the Second Amendment that says anything about sporting use. And even if sporting was a legitimate concern, well, who says what kind of gun it is that I go out and do my shooting sports with? There are all kinds of combat matches, three-gun matches where you use a pistol, then a shotgun, then a rifle, and namely a military-type rifle, AR-15s and whatnot, AKs. So how does sporting have anything to do with it? Those are, you know, ATF, here's the thing, guys. ATF does what they're told by whoever's in the White House at any, during any given administration. The Clinton era, they were told to put into this, into use all the sporting restrictions. You know, under Obama's administration, they've been told to do a lot of things, trying to ban the green-tipped 223 ammunition a couple of years ago. Trust me, the ATF in headquarters, their think tank that makes decisions as to what is and is not going to fly as far as gun technology, that's called the Firearm Technology Branch, and very few people know that there are only about eight people who work in that shop. You would think that an agency that's responsible for regulating firearms for the most gun prolific nation in the free world would have a lot more than 8 people in the shop that has to make the final decisions on things like that.
But they don't. That's interesting. Do you think President Obama is overreaching in his desire to control guns?
Definitely.
Does he get any pushback from the ATF? Does the ATF hold their ground and push back, or what's the relationship between ATF and the White House?
Well, the ATF has no authority to push back. They are the enforcement arm of Washington for guns. If Washington were to decide they want something done in the way of narcotics or drugs, they call the DEA and they say, make it happen. And the response is, yes, sir. And that's the way it is with ATF, too. They don't have, the president appoints who it is that leads ATF, the director or acting director. So if the president calls that acting director and says, we want you to tighten up on XYZ, the only answer is yes, sir, as soon as possible, sir.
They serve at his pleasure. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think...
I'm
just curious.
I had another question. Dave, let me ask one more quick question here. Open carry in Texas, has that come into effect yet?
Yes, it did. That was first of the year, I believe.
And are you starting to see people carry 6 guns on their waist?
I've seen one individual with his gun openly displayed since January 1st. I went to an estate sale with my wife, and the gentleman who was running the estate sale was standing out in the driveway of the home where the sale was, and he had a 1911 style pistol on his hip, open, visible. Had a nice little chat with him, but you just don't see it. As a matter of fact, once that took effect, restaurants and businesses can also display a sign that says we don't allow open carry here because we're afraid it's, going to make people have a heart attack or freak out. So you just don't see a lot of guys doing it. Biggest benefit to the open carry was prior to open carry, if you were carrying concealed and the wind blew your jacket up and somebody saw your gun, you were subject to being arrested for displaying your firearm. So, the good side of open carry is that. Now, if your gun should become visible or even prints under your shirt, if you can see the silhouette under your shirt, you could be arrested for that. And now, because of open carry, that's no longer the case.
Do you think more states will follow that? And also, do you think we're going to get more regulations, and in turn, would some of these regulations go away if people were taught or went to your courses and were taught about weapons instead of the hearsay that they determine that all guns are bad?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more open carry because, now that it's legal in a couple of states and you don't hear any problems as a result, people are relaxing from it. So you're going to see more of that. And as far as, violations out there, that's what drives the next gun law. You have mass shootings and the next thing, someone calls for another ban. When you don't have a bad situation going on, people relax.
Daniel, I gotta stop there. I was asleep at the switch, and we're running a little late on this segment. Hang on. We'll be back with more of Daniel O'Kelly and the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And yeah, we're sure back on the Dan and Dave show. We've got a special guest, Mr. Daniel O'Kelly from Dallas, Texas. And Dan's from the other Dan is in Portland. And we've been carrying on a conversation. And Dan from Portland and I have been doing a lot of listening because I think we're both fascinated at what Daniel has to say and his business, which is the International Firearms Specialist Academy. You can go and find out more about it at gunlearn.com. That's their website. And, you know, I think this is important for anyone that is interested in weapons, finding out your legal stand. You know, and I guess a lot of this, Dan, has been pushed by the thought of somebody knocking on your door and saying, we want your weapons. Do you think that'll ever come to pass?
I think if you vote, allow another liberal Democrat type to be voted in for president, and that person gets a couple more terms, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to that point because, you know, if they had their way now, they would have done it already, and the only thing that seems to be holding that off are the staunch conservative Republican and libertarian types in this country who, you know, constitutional-believing people who believe in the Second Amendment. It just amazes me how the liberal types believe in their own protection and, you know, they're all about having their own bodyguards who, of course, have guns, but they don't trust you to have your gun. And I have never understood that. It's, you know, it's not an equitable way of looking at things.
Do we have any rights, even if, or would it strictly be dependent if they were going to collect all weapons? Would we be basically dead in the water?
Well, here's the thing. Once it becomes law, let's say that became law, that it's, guns were banned. Possession of a firearm is illegal. And now, based on the records that are out there, the police find out that you own firearms, you can expect a knock at your door. Because the way it is now, drugs are illegal. And if the police find out that you're in possession of drugs, you can expect a knock at your door. They're going to have a search warrant. They're going to come in. So the same exact procedures would apply. As well, you know, once guns become illegal to possess, all they need is probable cause, which they would then take to a judge or magistrate and get a search warrant, and then they would gather up at the local police station, have a talk as far as how they're going to execute the warrant, and then you would get that early morning rude awakening where your door gets, you know, forcibly opened if you don't open it in short order. And they would relieve you of your guns. I mean, that's the way law enforcement works, and I'm not anti-law enforcement in any way, but what always has gotten me is anytime there's a new move afoot to ban some kind of gun, too many good people go out, and rather than fighting that law and making sure it doesn't take effect, their reaction is to just go out and buy one more gun. It's like, well, at least I got that one more before. You know, now I have my AK I always wanted, so if they make them illegal tomorrow, I already got mine. I mean, that's not the way to do this. I think we all need to get active at some point and vote and, you know, join the association of your choice that stands up for gun rights and, you know, take a part to make sure it doesn't end up like that someday.
Yeah, that's very well said. I'm a Second Amendment supporter, and I'm not looking to impose any regulations on gun ownership. However, Dave mentioned earlier, he was on his soapbox talking about a little bit about education. That's kind of one of my things is I think if you own a firearm, you need to be a responsible firearm owner. And if there are any courses that you're aware of that are kind of basic firearm ownership classes, and do you think that type of class should be, is that something that we need to take before we can own a firearm? Would that be a precursor to firearm ownership?
I think it would be. It's very helpful. I mean, knowledge is power. If you're going to carry, as I said, you need to know the do's and don'ts about when you can use that firearm. Otherwise, you're your own worst enemy. As far as gun possession, modification, collecting, things like that, you need our training because there is no one else teaching this. And without this training, you know, all you have to do is put a vertical foregrip on the wrong type of firearm and you've just committed a federal felony. All you have to do is drill a tiny hole in the wrong place in your gun the size of a pencil lead, and you've converted it from a completely legal rifle that you can buy at Walmart to a machine gun with doing nothing else to the gun except drilling this tiny hole in it. So you really need to know what it is you're doing, and education is the only way to avoid that trouble.
Yep, I agree. Yeah.
Daniel,
there are several organizations out there I would recommend, you know, as far as pro-gun education. There's, you know, the NRA is amazing. One of the best benefits of being an NRA member is getting their American Rifleman magazine. It's probably, you know, the best, if not one of the best magazines out there as far as actually letting you learn the latest in what's going on with firearms. It's not just telling you, hey, here's the latest, greatest gun somebody invented, but then there's the National Shooting Sports Foundation. We're also lately talking to the Second Amendment Foundation. So great organizations out there, and there are several others.
Daniel, let's go back through your online course. This is for anyone that's in law enforcement, anyone that is in the military, and military is a whole other bag of worms at this point. Who can, who can't, and when they need to have arms and they don't, and so forth and so on. Who else do you recommend or do you see is your potential audience for your course?
Anybody that owns one firearm or more really needs this training because, again, this training is everything you need to know to not ever get in trouble or to make a mistake. If you're a dealer and you don't have this training, you can lose your license, you can get arrested, you can get hurt, you can lose a lot of revenue by misidentifying a firearm and selling it for a lot cheaper than what you should because you weren't clear on what it actually is. Or you might pass on something someone brings in and offers to sell or trade to you because you're afraid it's an actual National Firearms Act gun, and it's not. Or maybe it is an actual National Firearms Act gun, which is contraband to possess without registration, and you don't know that, and you go ahead and take it into your possession. Now you're in possession of a couple of federal felonies. Same thing for collectors, manufacturers, importers, just anybody who owns a gun or is interested in firearms, you know, and that's on the civilian or the gun industry side. As far as law enforcement folks, police officers nationwide, they get taught how to use the gun they carry. They get taught how to clean it. You know, and if you're a range instructor or if you're an armor, you may know everything there is to know about that Glock that you carry. But then when you run into some guy who's a collector who's now in trouble, he's done something illegal, and you need to safely clear these firearms, what do you do? What is this one? How do I properly identify it? Cases get thrown out of court. CSI folks, we get a lot of them through the classes, evidence technicians, medical examiners, coroners, prosecuting attorneys, just anybody who deals with firearms in any way really benefits from this training, Dave.
Daniel, we're basically out of time. I want to thank you for coming on to the Dan and Dave Show. And one more time, your website is?
Gunlearn.com.
Gunlearn.com, and if they want to contact you, they can contact you through that website. I think you have your telephone number on there as well as the email address where they can send for information on it. Daniel O'Kelly,
right,
thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just going to say that's correct, Dave. Thank you.
I want to thank you for your service. That's the first thing. And then I want to thank you for your foresight in seeing that there was a need that should be filled, and you're filling that need, you and the others that are involved with you. And it's a great course, and we encourage everybody to take a look. And it's my bet that we'll be hearing more from Daniel O'Kelly in the coming days and weeks. So thank you. And Dan in Portland, thank you as always for the questions and a good show. And we appreciate doing this every Monday at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, it's been a good program, Dave. Great program. Thanks, guys.
We'll have the podcast up later, well, sometime tomorrow probably, and we appreciate everyone tuning in. We'll be back with the NSPS Hour right after these messages. Thank you all.